Teach us, Lord, to be masters of ourselves, that we might be servants of others. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hands and work through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire for Christ's sake. Amen. Listen again, if you will, to these words you heard read by our second reader. Don't be jealous or proud, but be humble and consider others more important than yourselves. Or, in the language more familiar to some of us who are older, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. St. Paul is nothing if not filled with advice and eager to give it. We have distilled from St. Paul's writings the first theological claims of the Christian faith. And in what we heard this morning from Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, we have one of the earliest and most significant claims about who Jesus is and how it is that the eternal divine source of all that is could become a mortal, time-limited human. But St. Paul also has a pretty good claim on being history's first mansplainer. In what we heard this morning, he is linking his theological idea about who Jesus is to a series of statements about how we should live. And the problem is, it's terrible advice. Most people would dismiss it as the worst idea in the world. So we should hardly be surprised when people reject the theology that comes along with it. We're in the second of four long weeks in which we're being subjected to Paul's strange advice to the Philippians. I'm not sure just what the Holy Spirit had in mind in having these 4 weeks of readings from year A of the lectionary come upon us just now, in this moment that many of our nations are making important decisions. Not just about their governments, but about their values. Can you imagine us going out into the streets of Geneva with this advice, or standing on the platform at the train station downtown handing out little pamphlets with this advice? Hey, I'm from a group that advises people to think less of themselves and more of other people. Would you like to have coffee with us on Sunday? Hi there, I'm out here with a group of my friends, and we're talking about the importance of not having selfish ambition. Would you like to come and join us for a conversation? What do you think they'd think of us? Probably they wouldn't take us very seriously. Think about what's happening around us at this very moment. Do you think anyone would give us a listen, handing out advice like that? Do you think Mr. Chiesa would be persuaded by the idea that we should put other people's interests ahead of our own? Do you think Mr. Trump, a man who had his own name lit up in fireworks over the White House, would be interested in our ideas about the importance of humility in building human community? For a long time, we have been accustomed to the basic ideas and values of the Christian faith having at least a minimum of respect in the public square. Yes, our societies may be more and more secular. Yes, the life of the church has been restricted to a smaller and smaller little corner of our public life. We know all that, but we knew at least that the basic values we teach here, values like compassion, like respect for human dignity, like the importance of welcoming the stranger and protecting the most vulnerable, and the radical equality of all people. We thought those ideas were pretty safe. Over the long arc of the history of the church, we remade the culture around us in the image of those ideas. Ideas that we've been teaching on Sunday mornings for 100 generations. And all of a sudden, all of that seems to be coming apart. Our leaders openly question the values that we teach. There are movements and masses of people in the streets of cities across the West who prefer to follow the preachers of hate and intolerance to any of the ideas that we have to offer. This is not familiar ground for us. We can deal with being marginalized in our own cultures. We can deal with the fact that they all show up at Christmas for the music. But we are disoriented at the idea of our values, our teachings, the things we hold most dear, being cast aside as irrelevant or foolish or out of touch with our new reality. Since the victory of life over death, since the victory of love over power on Easter morning, we have stood for the proposition that right makes might, and not the other way around. We've stood for the idea that the most privileged people and the most neglected people are bound together in a single common humanity, and that all of us depend on the others. We knew all along that many people who sought power in our societies would give at least some lip service, some basic regard to these ideas to earn our trust. But now, you know, now we proclaim a God who saves us and everyone else through humility. We proclaim a God who exercises power by absolute vulnerability, even to the point of willingly going to his own execution on a cross. When the world around us still bore the recognizable marks of the values that Paul taught that little church, when the societies that we organized still were organized around our ideas of human dignity, radical equality, the presence of the sacred in this secular world, you know, then we didn't have to make any hard choices about where to stand. Yeah, maybe our religious traditions were from a different century. Maybe they'd become a little musty. But at least our values were still in control. But now, brothers and sisters, that is changing. And if we intend to be disciples, if we intend not just to live by, not just to talk about, but to stand up for the kind of advice St. Paul has to offer the world, we are going to have to make some hard choices, some costly choices. I am a pastor. When I come to visit a church, I am supposed to offer comforting words when I stand up here. But I would be failing my vocation as a teacher if I offered you words of comfort today that will blind you from the trouble that we are in and from the challenge that lies ahead of us. Today is a day of decision in Switzerland. We are in a season of decision in the United States, but all of us, our entire culture is entering a decisive era, a time of testing, just like those folks in the wilderness you heard about this morning. A time in which the basic values that will guide our relationships with each other and the structures of power that we create to order our societies, all of that is up for review and revision and renewal. We have to decide where we will stand, whether the values our faith has been teaching us since they were lived out in the person of Jesus of Nazareth will be the values we teach our children, the values that guide our choices as citizens, the principles by which we are willing for them to know us. And we may find, in the midst of all of that, in the turmoil that is coming, we may find that we feel very much in the minority. That our plea to order society in terms of the law of love and our certainty that the frailty of our humanity can only be compensated for by compassion, all of that may be a dissenting voice. But we must always remember something Justice Ginsburg taught. Justice Ginsburg, who herself so tirelessly wrote opinions in dissent when her views did not carry the day. Were they the complaints of a minority perspective? Were they the lamentation of defeated and outmoded values? This is what Justice Ginsburg said. Dissents speak to a future age. The contention over how we best should live, how humans and their societies will flourish, that argument will always be with us. If we cannot be heard in the clamor and the noise of all of the demagogues around us, we must not despair. Because like Paul, our task is to speak to the future. Because the future is where God lives. The future is where we are being called to. Today, now, even at this moment. We're being tested. But that's okay. God is with us. Have faith. Stick together. Hear the words of this prayer one more time. O God, you declare your almighty power chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Grant us the fullness of your grace, that we, running to obtain your promises, may become partakers of your heavenly treasure. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.